I told you last week I no longer just survive in the Middle East. I live in the Middle East, which is different than the last time I greeted you 9 months ago. Thank God. And I do have 120 children. My parents are here. They know. I am the director of a youth program that teaches English but also mentors underprivileged Arab teens. So I've got 60 boys and 60 girls, and you can pray for me. But it's a delight and a privilege to be part of that team and that group in the Middle East, and it's also such a privilege to be with you. They told me I got to talk about the image of God in creation today, and there's way more than there's time for. One thing I wish I had time to talk about fully is that verse in chapter 2 where, you know, Momo mentioned that God said, it's good, it's good, it's good about everything he made. But there's something he said was not good, and that was to be alone. And part of the challenge of leaving home and going somewhere else was the sense that, man, it looks like I'm alone. And part of how God has brought me to life is showing me that I am not alone, that he is with me in the darkness and in the light, but also he's been with me through you guys. So one way has been I needed a car to help drive my 120 children around and to help with this role of directing a program. And I just want to say thank you in person to Living Christ Church for the giving that you did to make that possible. And I'm humbled to say I'm the owner of a Mitsubishi Lancer in Jordan. And just thank you. Thank you for being part of that. But more than that, someone hugged me today that I haven't seen since I left 18 months ago and started crying and said, I'm with you every day. And I know that, and it changes my life. So thank you. God said in Genesis 2, it is not good for us to be alone. And he gave us each other. He gave us community. He's giving me that in Jordan, but he's also giving me it through you and your consistent prayers and presence and communication with me. So thank you for that, and please keep it going. Before I left for the Middle East, the night before I left, some friends gave me a very special and very personal gift. Because they know me and they know my heart, it was a coffee mug. And not only was it a coffee mug, it was a coffee mug that they had written all of our catchphrases on. So it was every tender moment, every tender memory, all of our in-jokes, all of our sweetest memories, the questions that we would ask each other over and over again. So this cup, like, represented our whole friendship. And it was so precious to me that as soon as I got to the Middle East, to my new house, I hid it. Because I knew that, like, some people wouldn't get all the jokes on the mug, and I didn't want anything to happen to it. I wanted to keep this safe, treasure those memories and those moments. So I wrapped it up, and I put it in a closet, and I hid it. And then 2 weeks later, I was cleaning out my closet, and I hear it shatter. And I sat on the floor with the broken pieces in my house, feeling alone, and I wept. Because the mug was gone. Our catchphrases, our words of love to each other, were in broken pieces on the floor. Now imagine that one of my new Arab friends or one of my teammates had walked in at that moment, and they see me with this broken mug. They would have looked at it and they would have said, you've got really horrible friends. They gave you a broken mug? You're leaving the country, you're transitioning, you're going to be by yourself in this new place, and all they gave you was a broken mug? It's ridiculous, right? But we do that when we look at the image of God. Sometimes we look at the brokenness, and we forget our origin story. We forget where we came from. I don't think we even talked about this, but, you know, the superhero thing, that makes so much sense. Momo brought up the Hulk. Right? One of the first questions that my family had for me when I got off the plane was, have you seen the new Avengers movie? And the answer was no. But one of the reasons we love all the Avengers movies and we love the other comic book superheroes, We've got Spider-Man. I think they're coming out with Ant-Man now, right? Because we love to hear their origin stories. We want to hear these guys with these great powers, the Hulk smash. Where did he come from? How did he get that way? We love origin stories because that lets us know who we are and how we're supposed to relate to the world around us. Now, if we're going to embrace our true identity, we've got to start by knowing our origin story. So let's look at Genesis chapter 1 and 2 together. All right, it goes back to the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now, some of you are feeling emptiness really deeply right now. You filled up your coffee cup when you walked in, and it's empty right now. But think of it on a bigger scale. The word formless, when they heard it, that word would have meant more than just it doesn't have a shape. That word in Hebrew has this meaning of like complete chaos. There's no boundaries for anything. Everything is just loose and hanging out there and chaotic and confusing. No separation, no order. It was formless. Sometimes I listen to my students talk. Sometimes I listen to my friends talk. Sometimes I listen to my own heart, and I feel like there's a formlessness. There's a lack of order. There's a lack of shape. There's a chaos. There's confusion. But then there's also this horrible emptiness in the world. There's nothing there. And there's darkness. There's nothing to see. So our origin story is God taking something that is formless and chaotic and has no shape, something that's empty, something that's dark, and he starts to fill it. Step by step, he starts to fill it, and he starts to add shape to it. First, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and he called the darkness night. So he's adding boundaries. He's adding order where there was no order before. Next, he takes the sky, and he separates the sea from the sky. And next, God says, let there be light in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them mark, serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. Let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. And God saw that it was good. So God takes this formless, empty world, and he starts to form it. He starts to shape it. He starts to give it purpose. What only had chaos and disorder, he adds order to. He adds a reason to. And then he starts to fill it up. He fills it with light. He fills it with things that will give us markers to understand how time is passing, how the days are going. And then he keeps going in verse 20. Let the water teem with living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. He fills the sea. He fills the sky. And then he says, it was good. Verse 24, God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds. Livestock, creatures that move across the ground, wild animals, each according to its kind. So he's making something wild, but he's putting it within the right boundaries. He's created this land, he's separated it out from the seas, and he's putting all the animals on it. He's filling up the land. And then it's our turn. God created man in his image. He says, God said, let us make man in our image, and in our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God has been forming and filling the world, and now he invites us into the process. He doesn't give this instruction to any other part of creation. He doesn't tell one bird to rule over the other birds. He doesn't tell the dolphins, like, hey, you're the smartest. I want you to be in charge, take care of the sea. He tells us, I have formed you, I've shaped you, I've given you boundaries, I've given you purpose. I filled this world for you and with you. I want you to fill the world, and I want you to rule the world. I want you to take care of it. I want you to be part of creating order out of chaos. I have a purpose for your life. I have an intentionality for your life. Sometimes when we hear purpose, all we can think of is something's wrong and I've got to fix it. This world is broken, I got to make it better. We think only in terms of fixing. This was before anything was broken. Our origin story is that we're called to help give shape and purpose to the world in the image of our Creator before anything is broken. We're given something to do. You're given a purpose. So God calls us to be part of living in order with good boundaries, ruling what He created, filling it, and then caring for it also. Jump ahead to chapter 2, and in just this one verse, in verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to care for it. He gave him something to do. He gave him a purpose. Now, side note, it's really easy for some of us to just operate in fixing mode and forget that all of us are made in the image of God to care for and work the earth, all right? Living overseas, some people come in with a mentality of like, those people over there need me to fix them, and so I'm going to stoop down and I will graciously heal them. That is not their origin story. Because this story that we're reading isn't just about you and me. This is all of our story. This story is for my Arab Muslim friends in the Middle East. This story is for the Syrian refugee as well as the ISIS warrior. They were created in the image of God with an intention and a purpose, and they were made good. There is a brokenness and a reality that needs to be dealt with, but we have to go back to the origin story if we're going to treat people with the respect and honor them as the creation of God. Because if we don't, not only do we dishonor them, but we are dishonoring the Creator. We're dishonoring the one who made us, all of us, in His image. And that is a dangerous thing. So let's start to see each other as people who were created by God. I have this conversation sometimes in Jordan. I love to ask people about their dreams and their goals. And sometimes it starts with kids. I remember, so when it's like a young child, I'll try to make it really concrete. I'll say, what do you want to be when you grow up? Okay, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's one phrase, don't be too impressed. You could memorize it too. And then when I ask them that, they'll say all kinds of things. I have refugee kids telling me they want to be pilots. They want to be doctors. They want to be engineers. For some reason, everyone in that country wants to be an engineer. I don't know if it's a fad or if it's just what has the most prestige. And then I asked one of the students in the Young Leaders Program. I told you her story last time I was here. She's a girl with disabilities who works really, really hard to overcome them. She was in a car accident and lost her ability to walk and to speak, and has gained back some of it, but not all. But her dream is to go to the U.S. and to study and become an artist. And in a world where everyone is prioritizing the money, the high, fancy degrees, and she just sassily says, I'm going to be an artist. I love it. I love it. With people who can like think a little bit more abstractly, I try the question a little differently. Shuhelmek. That one's even easier to say. Shuhelmek. What is your dream? What is your dream? And they kind of look at me for a second, and they say, no one's ever asked me that before. And then they start to dream. So I ask this question at the beginning. I teach also at the university in the country where I'm living, and I ask this question to my students, and I get answers like, oh, my dream is to go to Paris and be a fashion designer. My dream is to be an ambassador. I'm going to work for the UN. I'm going to be a translator. I'm going to work in the hotel industry. I'm going to speak 5 languages. I'm going to learn how to make really good meals and make my husband and my family really, really happy. I'm going to be the best mom. I hear all of these dreams. As I get opportunity, I love to talk with people about going a little bit deeper than what you want to do. So it's one thing to say, I want to be a pilot, or I want to be an engineer, or I want to be a mom. But as time goes on, I talk with my students about what would it look like to be a person of influence wherever we are. The cool thing is, we have this story, this creation story, in common with Muslims. So when I talk with my students that are of a completely different faith, I get to talk with them about, hey, you and I both know that God made us, right? God made us with intentionality. God made us for a purpose, and he made us good. He made us good, and he loves us. What would it look like for you to live that out wherever you are and whatever you do? So whether you never leave the house or whether you're a fashion designer in Paris, what would it look like? And one of the coolest moments for me as a teacher was when one of my students, at the end of the semester, I asked her, you know, ask me a good question in English, because I've been teaching them to ask, like, deeper questions beyond what is your name. And she goes, what's your dream? And I said, all right, Rania, that's good, that's good. So, Rania, you answer that question. What's your dream? She looks at me and she goes, well, I'm not exactly sure what I want to do as a job, but whatever I do, I want to be a person of influence. And she already is. She already is. Let's be like Rania. Let's make it our goal to be people of influence, whatever our career is, because that's our origin story. This Muslim 20-year-old college student has got into the fact, she's caught on to the fact that she was created for a purpose to influence the world around her. And I think I could learn a lot from her. She knows that no matter what she does, she's called to be a person of influence. Now, the problem is barriers come up, right? So the Hulk, he felt like people didn't accept who he was. He sometimes smashed the wrong thing. And so he would withdraw. He would kind of hide from his origin story. He'd hide from who he was. I had another student who I honestly couldn't tell you her name because she missed more than half the classes. She shows up for her final. She's supposed to give a speech. And I had told them, this is your influence speech. Speak to me about something you're passionate about. You're going to speak in front of your classmates. This is your chance to influence them. Put into practice that idea of being a person of influence. So this is a public speaking class. They're giving their final speeches, their influence speeches. She shows up late. Her friends had to go get her. And she reads this speech that if she didn't get it off the internet, her friends wrote it for her. I couldn't tell you which. So she finishes. The two people left in class give kind of a slow clap. They leave, and I sit her down, and I say, hey, what's the deal? Because I've had you in two classes, and you're not fully present. I know you can do better than this. What's getting in the way? And she starts to talk to me about the things that are hindering her from doing as well as she and I both know she can do. And she lists them off, and I can see how hard this is for her because she starts crying. And you guys know how much I like to make people cry, right? So I'm sitting there feeling like a mean teacher, like I came down too hard on this girl, but there's no backing out. I said to her, you know, I will help you, and I will coach you, and you have friends who can support you, but you can do better than this. This is not the full extent of what you're capable of. I want to see you give me all that you have. I want to see you. You chose this class. You chose this degree for a reason. Live it out. That night, I had a message from her, and I was scared to open it. But I click on it. I open it up, and it's really short. The English is terrible, but it basically said, thank you. I'm sorry. Thank you for believing in me. Thank you for believing in me. Sometimes we have to get over the barriers and be called back to our origin story. We've got to have somebody look at us and say, where you're living right now, you're actually living out of your broken mug and not out of the original complete one. You got to go a little bit further back and not get stuck on the brokenness. So once we know our origin story, then we have to identify the barriers, the things that are keeping us from living out our origin story. Does that make sense so far? All right, so think about it this way. Superheroes. Every movie has this. they come across a place where a friend betrays them, or they get a little selfish, they get focused on the popularity, or they get focused on people's critique, a loved one dies, and they forget their origin story. They can only see the broken part, and they start acting out of that brokenness. And there's a tension in every single comic book superhero story as to whether the hero will live out of their brokenness or whether they'll go back to their origin story and be who they were created to be, influence the world, and draw out that good that was intended to be. And that's kind of what determines the heroes from the villains, if you think about it. Identify your brokenness. I would like to tell you that this is a one-time thing, and then you're done, and it's good. But unfortunately, we're not in a two-hour movie where things are that simple, right? I met Jesus when I was as young as the smallest kids in this room. And he really met me and has walked with me since. And you have walked with me over the last several years. But there's still ways where I'm identifying barriers to living out my full identity. There are ways where, you know, there's the phrases that God spoke to us at creation about who we really are. You're good. You're loved. I've made you with a purpose. But sometimes we just get stuck on the moments that have fallen apart. For some of us, they're big moments. They're like the superhero stories. They're deaths. They're betrayals. They're distractions. For some of us, it's quieter things. To be honest, for me, this week, I had to come face-to-face with God over a couple of the wrong phrases that were based on my broken parts of my story and not on the wholeness. I told you, you know, I'm in the Middle East, and sometimes it feels like I'm alone. And so it's like you make this new phrase. Instead of trusting that God says, I've made you for community, I'm with you always, I get stuck on, I just don't want to be alone. I need to make everybody happy, and then I'll feel really good. If I can make everybody happy, then I will never feel alone. Now that's a phrase that's based on my brokenness, on the stuck places, and not on my origin story. There's another one, you know, I can't make people angry. When people feel angry, then I feel like the world has fallen apart. It makes me feel broken, so I'm just never going to make anyone angry. It's really not completely within my control and not really fair. So I'm making these statements, these phrases that are based on the broken places and not on my origin story. And let me tell you, you know, my student, when I called her out on, like, don't get stuck on your barriers, be who you really are, she had a couple tears. There may have been more than a couple in just facing these things and saying, God, I don't want to get stuck on these broken phrases. I don't want to get stuck on worrying about just making everybody happy and never making anyone mad and finding my identity there. I need to go past the broken places and go deeper and say, who am I really? I am created in the image of God to be formed and full. And I wish I could tell you that I've learned that lesson and I will never struggle with it again, but that would be not so much true. So I want to invite you with me to identify the broken places. Identify the places, maybe a big thing or a small thing, where you feel like life has fallen apart, maybe a little bit or maybe a lot. Are there things that those times have created barriers? You know, they create barriers to us living fully our origin story. What would it take to let those go and embrace who we really are? Embrace the goodness, the intentionality, the powerful goodness of God that is on your life. You can't embrace that when your hands are busy clutching onto the broken pieces. You're going to have to let it go. I'm going to have to let it go. My students are going to have to let it go. They only know part of the story. They only know that they're made in the image of God. They don't know the piece about restoration. So here's the thing. I can't fix my mug. Okay, I've got this mug. All the pieces are shattered. They're in a landfill in the desert somewhere. I can't put it back together. But when it comes to our lives and the places where we feel like we've fallen apart, if we want to go back to our origin story, we're not on our own there. We don't have to fight this alone. As God said, before there was brokenness, it is not good for man to be alone. He's given us community, but more than that, he's given us Jesus. That's the part of the story that I long for my friends in the Middle East to know. That's the part of the story that I'm still learning myself day by day. What does it mean to be restored in the image of God? There's real brokenness out there. We can't do the restoration work on our own. We need Jesus. So he set it up from creation so that we can go back to that goodness. We can go back to that love. We can go back to that purpose. But we can't do it on our own. We can only do it through Jesus. So today we celebrate communion, okay? And communion remembers that Jesus' body was broken for us. Communion remembers that things fell apart in a bigger way than we could ever have imagined. And when Jesus' body was broken, that gave the greatest opportunity for wholeness that we could ever experience. That's what gives us a way to go back to our origin story. Jesus sacrificed himself. He gave up his life for us. Nobody killed him. Nobody took it from him. He laid it down. And he did that so that we could have a way to be restored to God. Our relationships got all messed up. We were created in wholeness, in fullness. We were shaped to be in fullness with creation, with each other, with God, with ourselves. And then all of those things got out of whack. All of those things broke by the choices we made. By the fallen apart part is real. But Jesus restores that. And when he restores our relationship with God through his sacrifice, through his coming back to life, his showing power over death, over all the broken pieces in our lives, he restores that relationship with God, and then that changes how we see creation, how we see each other, and how we see ourselves. That gives us a road to go back to our origin story. Know your origin story. Figure out what are the barriers that are keeping you from living it out. What is it for you? What are the pieces that are keeping you from walking out your full origin story? That mug represented the tender moments, the friendships, the community, the life that I had with people here in this community. Now the mug is shattered. Like I said, it's in a landfill in the desert somewhere. However, those memories, those jokes, those friends have just gotten deeper and stronger. The meaning behind it has gotten deeper and richer and stronger. And for us, family at Living Christ Church, we can go back to an origin story that's only been made more beautiful after the fallen part. Things have been shattered, but God brings together something so much more powerful and so much more meaningful than we have ever expected or imagined. What are the phrases that God wants to give you to embrace your identity as someone who bears his image? What are the barriers, and what is it you will need to embrace about your own origin story? Pray with me for just a minute. We're just going to take a couple seconds and listen to God. If you've been here more than twice, you've probably heard the phrases, what is it you need to let go and what is it you need to embrace? So I want to ask you that question. Just answer it between you and the Lord right now. And then in a few minutes, we'll take communion. And if you need to pray something through with someone, you'll have the opportunity to do so. If there's a broken place in your story that needs healing, whether it's a physical healing touch, whether it's some broken place in your soul, some place where you feel like things have fallen apart in a small way or a major way, you can pray with one of the prayer team that will be in the front. But let's just ask God together, what is it we need to let go and what is it we need to embrace? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for making a way to restore all of our brokenness. Thank you so much for our origin story, that you have made us loved, you have made us good. We want to remember, we want to know our origin story, but sometimes things get in the way. So Lord, right now, in the next 15 seconds, would you just identify for each person here barriers that have gotten in the way of us living out our origin story? Identify those barriers, God. And Lord, we want to identify the barriers and let them go. What is it you want us to embrace? What part of our origin story are you calling the people in this room to embrace today? Would you make clear what that is? Lord Jesus, would your Holy Spirit break down every barrier that keeps these image bearers from walking out their story? Would you break down anything that would get in the way of us living out our intended purpose as intentionally made, carefully shaped and formed creations who are made good, who are made loved, who are called to be people of influence? Break down anything that gets in the way of their identity through the strong name of Jesus. Would you just bring things up, Lord, today? Let them identify any barriers that haven't been identified in these last few minutes. Bring it up today. God, would you release us from anything that holds us back and let us embrace our full identity, our full origin story as your loved and good creations? It's worth it. You are a person of influence. You are loved. You are good. That's your origin story. Embrace your origin story.
When you're ready, this is how we take communion here at Living Christ Church, just for a reminder. When you're ready, you come down the center aisle. There'll be elders on this side and this side for you to take communion from. We'll have prayer people on the side if you need prayer. If you need prayer for healing, emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, come and talk to us. When you're ready, this is a great way to end this service, to walk out what was just prayed into you and out of you and through you. So when you're ready, come down. We don't do this alone. We do this as family, so nobody comes and takes communion by themselves. Grab one or two other people or three or four or five.